When you look in the mirror, do you see the same person who was looking at you 20 years ago? My guest today made a big change a couple of years ago, and these days, when he catches sight of his reflection, he sometimes does a double take. In his case, it was major, fairly rapid weight loss due to gastric bypass surgery, and now people treat him differently. In many ways, life is easier than it used to be, but yeah, sometimes he literally doesn't recognize the guy in the mirror. So when your body that you've known for years changes in a profound way, even if you really wanted that physical change, how do you navigate that mentally? I'm really keen to hear from you this morning. If your body has undergone a big change, how has that changed the way you relate to it? With me is Steve Molk, who had surgery that saw him lose more than 100 kilos over the course of 3 years. Steve, thanks so much for joining me on Life Matters.
My pleasure. Morning, Tegan.
So it's been about 3 years since you had your surgery. Can you tell me about what a typical day was for you prior to this?
Well, pretty lazy, honestly. It didn't involve a whole bunch of movement. And in part, that was because I was in a job where I didn't have to get up and move around a lot. And it also meant that I could, eat what I want and do what I want, but never really felt satisfied.
Can you tell me more about that feeling of dissatisfaction?
Well, in that, because I was very overweight, it was a situation where, I could kind of pour, whatever I wanted into my mouth. And it was just a situation where there might be that momentary kind of, this tastes good, this feels good. But, lots of empty calories, lots of bad choices about what I was putting in the gob. Just meant that with that mixed with no exercise, meant that I wasn't shifting any weight, which I largely desired to do, even though I wasn't going to do anything about it.
Right. So there was a desire there to not be that size. Like, was there a particular moment that crystallised for you that you wanted to do the surgery?
A couple of things tie into it pretty neatly. My mum and dad were both, my dad is still alive. My mum sadly passed away, in fact, due to complications from her obesity and diabetes as the end result. They've both been big their entire lives, and I saw particularly my mum struggle through the end of her life with absolutely weight-related issues and health problems. And I kind of went, I'm not there. I was fortunate, nearly 50, and I hadn't actually experienced any of those problems other than just being overweight. But I knew that I wasn't far from it. And if I didn't do something about it, then I was staring down, doctors every other day and medications and rattling and all sorts of different problems that I'd have to address just to stay a modicum of healthy. Coupled with that, I also had a really generous friend who had been through a mini gastric bypass procedure before and lost, a shed of weight. And he was just wonderful and supportive and encouraged me to check it out and said, if you've got any questions, all of that sort of thing, the right kind of encouragement that gave me the nudge to, through my GP, get a referral to a gastric surgeon.
So you've seen this in your parents, you've seen the alternative, I suppose, in your mate, you've decided to have mini gastric bypass surgery. Mm-hmm. How quickly was it till you started to see something change?
It didn't take long, and in part that's because your diet changes immediately post-surgery, in that I have to, when you have the surgery, because they physically are, cutting and stapling, your stomach, it means that you can't go into solid food straight away. So there's that immediate kind of response to go, hey, I'm eating differently. So there's that immediate reminder, but it didn't honestly take super long. Like, I'm talking weeks to maybe a couple of months before I started to really see a change in my body shape, a difference in my energy levels, and an ability, an increased ability to be able to do the exercise that I was in parallel trying to do to work, with the weight loss process.
I can only imagine it's a pretty weird thing to sort of maybe week to week be able to almost see the changes happening.
Oh, Tegan, it's crazy. Like, it's not a healthy weight loss in that process, according to my surgeon, is somewhere between 1 and 2 kilos a week, which, some people might scoff at and say that's not very much, and others might go, I dream about losing 1 kilo a week. When it all adds up and I'm at the other end of that, after 3 years to have lost just over 100 kilos, it wasn't in the end quite a kilo a week, but there's other mitigating factors around, you know, muscle loss and muscle gain and all of those sorts of things. But it's pretty confronting sometimes.
Yeah, tell me about this sense of perhaps kind of being like, who's that guy in a reflective surface?
Yeah, it is really weird, particularly now, because I hear the same voice come out of my head. And, you know, my facial hair and my head of hair has just got a bit grayer, but nothing too different there. But I can obviously see it across my face and definitely through my body. Sometimes I look in the mirror and completely recognize who that is. And at other times, no idea who this person is. Because for me, I have always been, you know, overweight to obese my entire life. And I weigh now less than I did in high school.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's just crazy in that regard as far as when I look at myself and do and don't recognize myself, it can be quite like there's a sense of accomplishment in it, absolutely. However, it's also confronting when I start to, you know, think about it a little harder and go, oh, you know, I could have made these changes earlier, all of the other stuff. I don't regret, you know, not having lost the weight. If anything, and it's not a hard regret, if anything, I regret not having done it 10 years ago.
Lots of emotions there. You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm talking to Steve Malk about the fact that he had weight loss surgery about 3 years ago. He's lost about 100 kilos, half of his body weight. And what I'm really curious to hear more from Steve this morning is about how that's changed the way he relates to himself and how people relate to him as well, how the world treats us when we look a bit differently to the way we used to. If you've had a big change in your body, maybe it's weight loss, maybe it's something completely different, something you chose or something that was a choice that was made for you. If you look dramatically different to the way you used to, I'd love to know how that's changed the way you relate to yourself. Also here with me this morning is Professor Gemma Sharp. She's a clinical psychologist who leads a body image, eating and weight disorders research program. Gemma, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm hearing in Steve's story his own like joy and also confusing feelings about maybe I should have done this earlier, who's that guy in the mirror. How typical is that kind of experience?
I should say I really commend Steve for sharing his story so openly. And this is an incredibly common experience. Whenever we undergo a major change in appearance, we can absolutely not recognize ourselves in the mirror. And it can take months, even years, to feel like we're in our bodies again. Our brain is so used to us looking a certain way and behaving a certain way that when that changes, it can really take us time for our brain to catch up, much longer than our bodies.
How much do our bodies sort of shape our identity as well?
I wish I could say it was less, but our outer shell really does have an impact on how we perceive ourselves, how we navigate through the world. It's the vessel that takes us through life. So it has a major impact on how we feel about ourselves.
I can hear you chuckling there, Steve. What do you want to say there?
It's integral. And I'm someone who I like to think is pretty in touch with, you know, who I am and how I understand myself. I can look back and see many decisions that I made around who I thought I was just based on how much space I took up.
Mm. Were you prepared for that shift, Steve? Or did you sort of get a bit of warning from your care team that this was something that you might need to grapple with?
My surgeon was pretty positive and talked about those sorts of things. I made sure through this recommendation of my friend who went through the process to ensure that I had good mental health and, you know, psychological support through it. So I was talking to a psychologist as well. And they were absolutely encouraging me to, you know, discuss these feelings of change and what does it look like and how am I feeling and you know, what did it feel like and those kinds of things. And it was really, really important for me in this entire situation that I had that support because as my friend reiterated, so much about who you think you are will be challenged. And even then, you know, people who know you really well or that you think know you really well they'll just start to treat you differently, some better and some not.
Did that bear out for you?
Yeah, I did have a couple of situations, you know, I can think broadly where if I say acquaintances as opposed to friends have broadly sort of treated me, you know, differently and in better largely. I can think of one situation particularly where a reasonably good friend just sort of became a little more distant, and we haven't been able to resolve why that is. I can only put it down to maybe they think I'm not the person that I used to be or who they thought I was. It's been really weird. And also because, like, I'm a big personality person in part because I used to take up a whole bunch of space. That's still a thing, but I kind of don't feel like I need to command that space as much. So I'm maybe not as big, and maybe that affected the relationship. I don't know.
That's so interesting. You sort of maybe subconsciously changing your own behaviour, might not even realise you're doing it.
Mm. I was aware that I guess if you think about it, I would have considered myself the life of the party and lean into that situation. And I still enjoy a party. I just don't need to be at the centre of the attention anymore, as much because I think, and this has been a conversation with my psych, that I was compensating so that people felt comfortable around me because I just looked intimidating because I took up so much space.
Gemma, how does that chime for you?
That resonates really strongly with our research and my own clinical experiences with people who've been through similar experiences to Steve, that just sometimes being in a smaller body, people will be more accepting of you and you don't need to overcompensate in social gatherings. It, unfortunately, sometimes, yeah, just being in a smaller body, people will be more accepting. But I also heard Steve say there that an acquaintance became more distant. And sometimes with these radical appearance changes, some people do think differently of us, that we're not the same people we used to be.
Gemma, where does our body image come from? How was it shaped across our lives?
Oh, I mean, we are born with a sense of body image, and we talk with three-year-olds and they have a sense of their bodies moving through space. So as soon as we're aware of it, we know that it's there, and it's influenced by the people around us, the media we consume, the relationships we have, relationship with ourselves, of course. So it is a very complex self component.
Steve?
Yeah, you only have to look at shows like The Biggest Loser and those sorts of things, right? We do live in, thankfully now, an era where people and the media are a little more broadly accepting of different body shapes, and body positivity is a much bigger conversation that we get to have and can celebrate in some situations. But I'm a child of the 80s. I was born in the 70s, and so I got to see Elle Macpherson running down the beach asking for a tab and didn't see a fat person anywhere other than as like the butt of a joke.
This is the part that I wanted to ask you about, because I imagine, and you sort of said it before, it's a bit easier to move through the world if you're not in as big of a body as you were in before, which I guess for you now is easier. But also I wonder if there's a little bit of like, couldn't you just accept, I'm still the same person, couldn't you just accept me the way I was?
Oh, and you know, any conversations that I've had with people that have been concerned about that have largely been able to work through it. For me, it absolutely was related to, I've got young adult children and I'm married 24 years, and I wanted to make sure that there was a little better opportunity to have whatever, however much time I have left with them, to be of, you know, just fun and not so much focused on, I have to go to another specialist, or I've got to, you know, I can't get out of the chair easily, or, you know, the complications that come from weight-related diabetes are pretty horrendous, and I just didn't want to have to deal with any of that.
This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking to Steve Malk and Professor Gemma Sharp. Gemma is a clinical psychologist who leads a body image, eating and weight disorders research program. Steve is a guy who had weight loss surgery about 3 years ago, has lost 100 kilos, and it's really changed the way he moves through the world and relates to his own body. And I'm asking you if you've seen a big change in your body and how that's changed the way you feel about it or relate to yourself. One person says, I went through hormone-driven breast cancer treatment in my late 30s with a young child. I went through mastectomy and ovary removal, went through menopause at 40 with weight gain and hot flushes, but accept that price for health. I now live with osteopenia and post-treatment body changes, but get to see my son grow up and not worry much about a recurrence. Another person says, my body change was acute and a result of an accident. I had most of my arm resurfaced from skin elsewhere on my body, resulting in a very big scar. It took me the best part of 5 years to accept that part of my body as me and for that scarring, to not bring me back to the moment of that change and all the subsequent rehabilitation and work in that pain. It was very much a psychological situation of the before and after and what that meant for me and my identity, that my identity is what I do. Gemma, that particular story with the scarring is really crystallizes, I think, this sense of a change you didn't choose for yourself. How do you help people work through making peace with changes like that?
Yeah, and I really thank the listeners for sharing their stories there. And I think that particular instance, as you're saying, that was a change in an instance through a traumatic process. So that would be, a slightly different therapeutic approach in that you are contrasting that before relatively peaceful life to now been through something quite traumatic and life being very different afterwards. So it would be both identity work and some trauma processing, I think.
Steve, you mentioned before the support of your family and sort of having that relationship with your family. How Yes. have they been for you in this process? Because they're probably also getting used to the new way you look as well.
Yeah, absolutely they are. They've been marvellous, frankly, right from the very sort of early conversations, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, because like the process in itself is on one hand really selfish. It's a medical, you know, surgical procedure that happens to me and not to them. If something was happened to me, it's a me thing, not a you thing, and so on and so forth. However, they were, you know, encouraging me to explore that. And when I said, yeah, I think I'm going to do it, they were right behind me there. They also recognized that that meant for them, ideally, that they'd get to have, you know, dad around for a bit more, or we'd get to be able to do some more interesting things because of the limitations that my obesity had led to before. They've been marvellous. I mean, if nothing else, my glorious and long-suffering lovely wife has had to put up with me going through, I think we're up to 2 complete wardrobe changes.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds expensive.
Yes, it is.
Steve, do you ever miss the way you used to look?
No. Because I recognise for me the effort that it took to be me in just my normal state, you know, getting out of bed, getting up to do it, like the normal physical things of getting around, you know, our body compensates and we all do things. In fact, I'm feeling some of the after effects of my body having compensated for being so heavy for so long, that as I've now lost a bunch of weight and I'm exercising and moving and doing those sorts of things, I'm still trying to find where my center of balance is properly when I'm, you know, doing Pilates or those sorts of things. Mm. It's coming, like I'm working it out, but it's a shift. And I also acknowledge that as a part of it, having carried that weight for so long, it doesn't take away the fact that I may need, you know, 2 new knees or a new hip or something in the future because of the, you know, the effort and energy expended by my body. What it has done is delayed that and ideally made my recovery, if and when I face that, much shorter, much easier.
Steve, thank you so much for being so open and sharing your story today. And Gemma, thanks for your insights as well. Steve Malk is sharing his story of weight loss, dealing with profound change to his body, literally half the size that he used to be, and sometimes still catches himself wondering who the guy in the mirror is. And Professor Gemma Sharp is a clinical psychologist. She leads a body image, eating and weight disorders research program. And thank you for your texts as well. Tess in Wollongong says, I'm 42. It's been the same my whole life. Once a year, my dad shaves his beard and I can't look at him or be comfortable around him physically until it starts to grow back again. Sometimes a beard is just part of who your dad's meant to look like.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.